to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Got a pencil and paper handy? Might be a good idea today, because on today's program, we're going to take a quick look at some technology that's just as powerful today as it was when it was introduced thousands of years ago. I refer, of course, to the book. Not all listeners to the Electronic Cottage enjoy reading books on computer screens, and several have asked for suggestions about regular old paper books that they might look at to get an idea of where our increasingly connected and increasingly electronic world is headed. So today, we'll look at several books that you might want to hie yourself down to your local library and take a peek at. In fact, I first took each of these books out of the library and found them so valuable and important from my perspective that I went out and ordered them at my local bookstore. The first book is entitled Linked, The New Science of Networks. The author is a professor of physics at Notre Dame named Albert Laszlo Barabasi, Barabasi. The small blurb or the tickler on the book jacket reads, quote, how everything is connected to everything else and what it means for science, business, and everyday life. Sounds like a bit of hype at first, but after you read this book, you may see things differently. As you may suspect, the author's not just talking about TV networks here, or even about the internet, although that's certainly the most obvious network to many of us. But it turns out that most of the world in which we live our lives is a series of networks. Networks of family and friends, of electric lines, of business colleagues, of telephone lines, of roads, of the internet, and on and on. Surprisingly, these apparently very different networks seem to be organized according to similar laws, and those laws are not, as we might initially suspect, random. Linked is a surprising book, both because of its content and because of its very readable style. It's readable, but the ideas are not obvious, and the thinking is very deep. If you've ever wondered if it's true that by going through only six people, you could actually get a message from yourself to anyone else in the United States, this is a book for you. And if you think that the internet is a random collection of billions of web pages, this book will give you a lot to think about. So will a seminal book by lawyer Lawrence Lessig, L-E-S-S-I-G. Book reviewers often toss the term brilliant around without very much thought. It sometimes seems that every other book in the store these days contains a, quote, brilliant analysis of the current political situation, or else it's a first novel by a, quote, brilliant young author. Yawn. When a book actually is brilliant, it has an effect that goes far beyond its covers. It seeds much thought and debate, and it often becomes the standard to which works that follow it refer. Lawrence Lessig's book, Code and Other Laws of Cyberspace, is brilliant in that meaning of the term. Lessig is an unusual lawyer. He writes splendidly with a style that's clear, graceful, and with rare common sense, coupled with an encyclopedic knowledge of what he talks about. And what he talks about in Code is the internet, and more particularly, the forces that are joining together to regulate the internet. To those who believe that the internet is the ultimate bastion of freedom, a wild west of ideas and communication that's so huge it can't be controlled, Lessig says simply, think again. In his view, there are four regulators that societies use to control behavior of their members: law, architecture, social norms, and market forces. In this context, architecture means design. It could be the design of a building, but it could also be the design of a software program, or a traffic pattern, or the internet itself. How does architecture control behavior? In the physical world, think about a building that has 20 steps leading up to its only entrance. That architecture effectively prevents a person in a wheelchair, for example, from entering. Or think about a one-way street. That design effectively controls the direction that you can drive on that street. And just to make sure that you don't violate the architecture design, laws provide a financial penalty or jail time if you do drive in the wrong direction. In Lessig's view, it's this combination of architecture and law which poses a great threat to the freedom that users have, or maybe once had, on the Internet. We've spoken before on the Electronic Cottage, for example, of the combination of law, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and architecture, technological restrictions on where you can play a DVD movie that you purchased. If you purchase a DVD in France, for example, while you're on vacation, and bring it home and try to play it on a DVD player that you bought in the US, it won't work. Why? Because the movie companies have divided the world up into zones so that they control pricing more effectively. To do that, they put software controls on the DVD disc which prevent you from playing it in any zone other than the one in which you purchased it. Now, if the only problem were disabling that software protection, that architecture, all you'd have to do is download a decryption program put on the internet by some 15-year-old somewhere, and that would take care of the problem. But now, combine that software architecture with law, and we have a different situation. Now, we face 5 years in prison under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act if we tell someone how to overcome the software protection on the DVD, no matter how trivial it is in terms of software protection strength. Just as a one-way street sign cannot, by itself, ensure that drivers will only travel in one direction, so software architecture, by itself, can't ensure that users will conform to the technological restrictions that, for example, movie companies want to impose on them. But put law and architecture together, and we have a very different situation. All of a sudden, the Internet no longer looks so free and unregulable. If you have any interest in this type of freedom, or any interest in the future of the Internet, this is a must-read book. It may not be too late to preserve some sort of freedom for users on the Internet and in the electronic realm, but it's getting awfully close. But it is too late to mention any more books on this program. Once again, the titles we discussed are Linked by Albert Laszlo Barabasi, Barabasi, and Code by Lawrence Lessig, Lessig. If you find these suggestions for reading about our electronic world useful, send a little snail mail note to WERU, an email to info@weru.org, or call the station and leave a message for the Electronic Cottage. There are a number of other good books on the shelf, and if you like this idea, we'll get to them on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.